stand and turn in your hymnal number 27. You may not recognize this, but, and you can blame me for that. This is an old boys choir. I learned this in San Antonio Boys Choir back in 68, 69, 67, probably 67. We'll do 1, 2, and 4. So we won't do all of them. All creatures of our God and King. 27.
Of God, shake hands, hug necks, touch knuckles, whatever is your pleasure.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing
appreciate the enthusiasm, the way that you greet our visitors and members as we return to our seats, please. All right, Kelly, would you come with our announcement for the day, please?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Live Oak First Baptist Church. We're glad that you're here. If you're a visitor, we welcome you. And Pastor would like to speak with you briefly in the back after the service. Karen and Donnie had a wedding yesterday. Way back there. I think I'm the only one that can see him at the moment. Everyone that helped, we thank you so much. And we're just hoping that Karen and Donnie have a blessed marriage for years and years and years and years and years. A note per pastor, our last two Wednesday nights have been meetings, conferencing. And so this coming Wednesday is going to be Bible study. And then the next two or three Wednesdays will be a meeting with conference as well. Correct?
Yes.
So, make plans to attend each Wednesday night at 6:30. We'll see you there.
Before you leave, you mentioned the wedding.
I did.
You realize I've been in the ministry for years, and I've had all kind of people come to me with love issues, talking about counseling. Well, this lady showed up one day, wanted to talk to me about her parrot.
Her parrot.
Uh-huh. It embarrassed her at home all the time. She said every time somebody comes in, the parrot whistles at them and says, "Come here, sugar, let me give you a kiss." And she just didn't know what to do. And I said, "Well, as it happens, I too have a parrot, you know." And we see these that have been on a cruise, you know, that's kind of romantic, the ones that got married and all that. And I said, "You need to bring your parrot over to see my parrot." Said, "All my parrot does all day long and sits on its perch and just prays all day, you know. You'd be a positive influence on your parrot." It sounded like a plan. So at the appointed day, she brought her parrot over, put her parrot in with my parrot, and it said, "Hey, sugar, have at a kiss." And my parrot said, "Thank God my prayers have been answered." We need some prayer after that, Mara. Good luck.
Good morning. Welcome to March 1st. Do you realize that we're already in March? And, you know, I've known Donnie a long time, more than I have Karen. And this morning when I walked up the front, you know, Karen's out there to greet us, and, you know, we do our greeting. And I asked her, I said, "Karen, is Donnie been in the doghouse yet?" And she goes, "Well, he is, and I'm keeping an eye on him." And I'm glad she's back there keeping an eye on him, so I keep him out of trouble. Donnie's a pretty good guy. You just have to keep him on the right track and road, and he'll do well. You know, as Texans, we're blessed to live in a wonderful state. One of the things we're celebrating, 190 years when Texas became a republic in 1836, we're getting close to that 200-year anniversary, and that's special. But we also have a right to vote, and many of you voted in the early elections, and if you haven't done so, be sure to March 3rd to vote. So pray for that vote. That's very important. As Christians, we have to do that. Some other things to pray for. Pray, of course, for those with medical needs, Nancy Cooper, Pastor Cooper. Pray for Paul and Kathy Rigsby, Charles Brantley, Freddie Simmons, Ollie and Eleanor Evener, Josie Germont. She's doing much better. She's starting to recover. Pray for our nation, our leaders, to make wise decisions. Pray for the world affairs. You know, there's wars and conflict going on all over the world, and we don't know where that leads to, but, you know, as Christians, we have to realize the importance of sharing the gospel in this important time. And pray also for those suffering from the effects of war and storm, severe weather. That's really important. And, of course, pray for rain to nourish the earth. Let's bow in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this privilege to come to your house to worship together. as a church family. I thank you for all those that could be in attendance here today. We pray for especially for those who are not feeling well, those that have medical needs, Lord. Help the doctors and medical providers that are treating them. Lord, we pray for our country, our leaders, to make wise decisions, to seek guidance from you. Lord, be with the elections. Lord, help each of us to vote if we haven't, to do our part and take responsibility as citizens. We pray for those that are affected by conflict all over the world. Lord, we don't understand it sometimes, but we know you have the big picture in mind. Lord, let us be busy about your business to carry out the great commission in this world to share the gospel message. Be with the pastor today as he shares your word. Give us open and receptive hearts and minds. And let us praise you and honor you in everything that we do. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We're doing a lot of songs on heaven this morning. So if you'll grab your hymnal and turn to page 521, On Jordan's Stormy Banks I Stand.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand, I cast a wistful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land, yes I am bound for the promised land. Hallelujah, oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. O'er all those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. There God the sun pours out the rain and scatters night away. I am bound for the promised land. Yes, I am bound for the promised land. Hallelujah, oh.
Turn to 514 when we all get to heaven. Please stand for the offertory hymn.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. Get to heaven, what a day! dreams of gold.
When we all
get to heaven,
what a day
of rejoicing that would be.
When we all
see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Son. Thank you for that victory that we'll all be able to claim. I pray now that as we go back to our congregation, that we work, we give through our blessings, we bless this congregation so we too can lead others to that victory. I pray that we remember this, and I pray that we always be the best ambassadors for your Son. I pray this in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all are blessed by today's choir song. Thank you. Where's my player?
The way that he loves.
done, choir. I relate to Sherry. I can't tell you how many times I've turned around on a platform expecting somebody or something to be there and no one was there. So handled that very well. I appreciate everybody being here for the wedding yesterday. That was a wonderful experience. And for all of those who came over and spoke to Miss Cooper, that's the second time she's been here since her surgery back in November, which is 3.5 months ago now. And the home care nurse told us, you know, when she talked about she's still not recovering well, it'd probably be another 3 months. And, you know, both of us had a difficulty getting home yesterday. So get up this morning and come to church and get out of your car and excited to meet God's people. And the first person I walked into, you know, three out there, but the first one that walked up and spoke to me was Karen, you know, the bride from yesterday. And this is what she said, "Preacher, you don't look very good." What an encouragement. And no one can want Miss Cooper to get well better than more than I do, because it's taught me what it really means, ladies, to cook and clean house. I'm serious. No, so, "Preacher, you don't know anything about cooking." Well, let's just try that on for a second, all right? You know, Friday night, and I put something together real quick, beef stew over rice with tossed salad. From start to finish, that was 1 hour and 15 minutes. Does she do the dishes anymore? No, she doesn't do the dishes anymore. Yeah, that's just something quick thrown together. But, Freddie, this is up your alley, okay? This is grilled loin, boneless loin pork chops. This thick, okay? As a matter of fact, they were a gift from Freddie at one point. With baked beans, baked potato, tossed salad, and water. That was 1.5 hours, so I don't know that we're going there again. I appreciate Larry preaching last week and got wonderful reports on his presentation. And his dear wife brought me a list this morning of the dates that he's available. And as a matter of fact, just following up after that compliment that I got from Karen, I looked at my full-length mirror in my office before coming out, and I found wrinkles there that I didn't know existed. You know, just really. So it just blessed her heart to be able to be here and to see so many of the church family, and hopefully sometime in the future she'll be able to be with us on a more regular basis. Let's look in the book of Ephesians. Back to where we have been, in Ephesians chapter 15. I expected to be preaching somewhere else, but when I was not here last week, I went back and looked, and God said, "You need to stay here a little longer." So I want to read from verses 15 to 19 and then focus on verse 17 this morning. "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Father, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. When we started this particular series in Ephesus, and we came here to this first chapter, we had gotten as far as, 15 to 20 that I read, and we were looking at the theme that Paul is addressing here, thanksgiving for your faith, talking wonderfully toward them with kind words. And he began by giving thanksgiving for their faith in the Lord, for their love for all God's people, for remembering you in his prayers. And then in verse 17, he addresses the subject of how he is praying for the Christians in Ephesus. And he says to them in verse 17 in his prayers for spiritual knowledge. That's the title of today's message. Prayers for spiritual knowledge. And there are three elements that he addresses. The first one is, in verse 17, he prays for the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. Is it the same to say that someone is smart and to say that someone is wise? Or knowledge, wisdom, are they the same? Then just think about it for a minute. My children and my wife say this about me. Now, this is the year I'm going to turn 80. They say, you drive like an old man. And I look at them and say, I am one. Old man. And a lot of Sundays when we finish here, I'm very tired. It's the reason this is my last year. I'm very tired. And we get out and sit down in the car, and I'm just wore out. And, because she cares about her husband, she looks at me and says, would you like for me to drive? Now, is that a nice thing to say? Is that a nice thing? It's not a trick. Is that a nice? Sure, that's a nice thing to say. And you say that because you've never ridden in the car with her behind the wheel. There are speedometers that tell you when you're going too fast. And, being at 80 as you're leaving the parking lot is a little excessive, don't you think? So, no, I don't let her drive. Well, it's not that I don't give her permission to drive. I just won't give her the key. Really? What good is it to sit there going home going, and you're stomping the brakes, and there's not one on the passenger side of the car? Wise. You want to go home? You want to have your wits about you when you get there? You want to be able to relax for a while? And who cares if people keep cutting you off, You know how many spaces, and they leave it. They're just getting in front of you, and you keep backing up, whatever. Well, when I think about wisdom and I think about knowledge, I think about my brother. Notice, if you've thought about it, they probably haven't, but over the last, 4 years that I've been here, I never talk about him much. You've never seen my brother. You never will. And he is incredibly smart. Test. His IQ test at the genius level. He's just never learned how to put that genius part together to the practical side of life so he can live like a wise individual. And I won't bore you with a lot of details, but I guess Friday, phone rings, and Miss Cooper's talking, and in a minute, you know, she hangs up, and she says, that was Wesley Hargraves. That name doesn't mean anything to you, does it? I mean, really, does it? You don't know Wesley Hargraves. He's not the chairman of a pulpit committee. Don't worry about that. He wouldn't be talking to her anyway. Wesley Hargraves is someone we know back in Georgia. Wesley Hargraves is our CPA. And he called to tell us about our taxes. And see, the thing, you know, Mario stood up and depressed the congregation by saying we have finally made it to March, which means we're 46 days from filing our income taxes. Yeah. You say, well, why do you have a CPA? Do you ever had a visit from the Internal Revenue Service? Have you? I have. You know, I love Wesley Hargraves. I do. Now, my brother, on the other hand, he doesn't have a CPA. Matter of fact, my brother's idea of income taxes is only, you know, a foolish individual would pay them. Just let that sink in for a minute. He doesn't like the way the government spends his money. Therefore, he doesn't pay his income taxes. You say, preacher, you're making that up. No, I'm not. No. Mm-mm. And he had been on a visit. This is a long story, but I'm going to get it all. He'd been on a visit to Cuba, and he flew back to the United States and landed in Fort Lauderdale. And the Internal Revenue Service and the FBI was waiting on him when he landed. It seems that they were concerned, whether my brother was or not, about $56,000 that he owed them. You keep it up? What happens with the genius level IQ and obeying the laws of the federal government? Are you keeping up? I spent most of my life pastoring churches where you get to work with deacons. Why'd he get quiet? Well, every month there's a deacons meeting, right? Huh? Come on. Except for 10 years when I worked exclusively with preachers. You don't know headaches. You just don't know headaches till you work with pastors. And I had one guy who was a graduate of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Wake Forest, who was a PhD, that means he was a doctorate of theology. And he kept coming to me, one of the church planters, and saying to me he couldn't get anywhere in growing his church because he didn't have a sound system. And he never was going to be able to do anything in his ministry and growing his church until he had a sound system, and I ought to get him one. And if I cared about him at all and him growing his church, I'd get him a sound system. Jessica, I've let you get by a couple of days, a couple of Sundays, not talking about you. How many people you think he preached to every Sunday? Oh, and he was Korean, too, as a matter of fact. The Korean pastor, mission setting, How many people do you think he has congregated? He had to have a sound system. You want to guess? I'll just tell you. Six. He wants me to take your mission money and spend it on a sound system for him to preach to six. I'm not kidding. So that, and he liked to play tennis. So these missionaries, these church planners have to fill out a report every month. And he sends me his report, and it's got tennis written on it from front to back. And when I called him into my office and told him that wasn't really acceptable, he said, I've told you this story, so I'll just move on. I told him, he looked at me and he said, well, that's just your opinion. That's not the kind of thing you say to your boss. You got it? And I looked at him and I said, let me tell you, today mine's the only opinion that counts. Go ahead. That was your mission dollars I'm talking about. Biblical knowledge, stay with me here. Biblical knowledge that is not applied is the absence of wisdom. When God had this written, he wrote it so you could read it. And then when you read it, you could apply it. That you could take what is here and apply it to life principles that you live out in obedience to what God has said unto us in his word that we ought to be doing. Just let me read you this next statement. This is my writing, you know, from studying God. We need the common sense to apply biblical knowledge to life situations that reflect biblical wisdom by making wise decisions. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, go back to my brother again. This is March. Mario's right, followed by April, and then in May is graduation. Right, Brad? Educator back there. Looking forward to my grandson graduating from college, you know. And now he's talking about going on and getting a master's degree. That, as long as his mom and dad are paying for it, I don't care. It's good. When my brother graduated from high school in Salisbury, North Carolina, Rowan County High School, teacher went to my mother and said, your son could have graduated from this school with the highest grade that anyone ever made. That's quite a compliment, don't you think? When he graduated, how many awards do you think he received? None. How many honors was he given? None. How many beta clubs and honor societies was he a part of? None. How many robes did he wear across the graduate, when they gave him his, diploma? None. What good is the knowledge if it's not applied? And when God, through the person of his Holy Spirit, impresses upon us the truth of the word, and we're not obedient to that word, we're not living in a wise manner. That was the first thing, for spiritual wisdom, the spirit of wisdom. Second thing, in verse 17, is the spirit of revelation. Now, let me share three things about that, Revelation is the product of maturity. You listening? Revelation is the product of maturity. What did Paul say in one of his books that he wanted to feed his congregation or write to them on the basis of the milk of the word. And he called them carnal, because you're immature, because you've never grown, I've got to feed you milk, not meat, milk. I would hate as an adult to have to live off what's being fed to infants. I have looked at in terms of giving it to the children and, you know, my children and grandchildren, you know, baby food, and I haven't seen any that look tasty yet. I haven't seen any that, just looking at it, would make my mouth water yet. Now, if we're talking a T-bone steak, just, you know, I mean, just come on. Revelation is the product of maturity. I just love the fact when I open up God's Word and begin to read it, as someone that's been in the Word all their life, that it just, the spiritual juices of the revelation of God's Word just overflow me. You probably wouldn't want to be with me. But sometimes, just riding around in the car in the city, I get thinking about the Word and get thinking about the sermon for Sunday and thinking about what God's saying out there, and I just get to preaching while I'm driving. Now, you understand, there is no congregation. There is no one else in there. And I'm just having a spiritual good time. Tears are rolling down my face and just praising God for His Word. What I'm gleaning that has been revealed unto me to rejoice in. Revelation is the product of maturity. Secondly, it is the product of spiritual insight. Now, I want to ask for a show of hands, but I know I'm talking to people that are students of the Word. And you sit down and you go back to that passage that you've read many times and you read it again, and it just jumps out of you. Well, I never saw that before. I never saw that application before. I didn't understand what that scripture meant before, but God blesses you with spiritual insight. And the third thing, revelation, is the product of seeing through God's eyes. Spiritual wisdom and spiritual revelation. So let's wind this up. This is what he's praying for. Praying for knowledge to know God better. Knowledge to know God better. The more time we spend with Him, the more time we spend with fellow believers, the more time we spend in the Word, the more time we spend in worship, the better we get to know the Lord. I had a phone call from Honolulu, Hawaii. I really did. You know. And it's my youngest son. And he said, "Daddy, let me tell you what happened today." I said, "All right." He said, I gave my soldiers an assignment to work on some of the ambulances. They had two or three that, you know, were assigned to him. And I went down and told them what was done and told them that they couldn't leave until the job was completed. And he goes up in his office and he watches them work. Now, we we have someone with us who has been a member of this church visiting today, and they use some southern word, you know. And I thought, I understand, I can't remember what it was, and they don't have to quote it. But I just want to use this expression, you know, this is from out of the South, called piddling around. They had a job to do, and they were just piddling around, you know. And he's up there in the office talking to some of the other officers or whatever, said, look at them down there, they're just piddling around, and they think I'm going to let them go home. So quitting time came around, and he walked down to where they were, and they're laying the tools down, and they just did thing. And he said, we're done. He said, really? I don't see that you've done anything that I asked you to do. I told you to do this, and I told you how it had to be done, and you haven't even come close to doing it. And let me tell you another thing. You're not setting foot off of this base until you get it done, and you just get back there and work and forget about going home, because you're not going anywhere. And then you know what he said next? He said, I think I got that from you, Daddy. You can relate to what I'm saying, can't you, Frank? Paul, you know what I'm talking about, don't you, Dad? You know? Where did he get it from? He got it from his father. How did he get that? From hanging around. You say, oh, you couldn't have been that hard-nosed as a parent. I think we had been in, we went to the Southern Baptist Convention, you know, their mother and me, and I really, really think it was San Antonio where we were and flew home and got into the house, into the kitchen, and you could see out into the backyard where the woodshed was, and both of my boys said to me, said, Daddy, while you were gone, said, the front stack of wood fell over. And I said, oh. And I said, why didn't y'all restack it? Are you listening? Are you listening? You weren't here to tell us how you wanted it done. We weren't going to put it up until you were here to tell us how you wanted it done, because we knew that however we did it, it wouldn't be right. They pretty much, yeah, that's pretty much how it is. It's like that youth director working in the house trying to fix their kitchen sink, and it fell on my face, and blood was just everywhere. And I asked them later, I said, why didn't you do something for me? They said, you're so picky, I didn't know what to do. Listen, what do you think God wants you to be like? Just like Him. When He tells you to do something, that's what He wants you to do. It's not often that every time that you commune and fellowship with God, that He gives you the big picture that He has. He knows where you fit in. He knows what you need to be doing. And that's what He wants you to do, not something that's none of your business. You say, preacher, you feel bad today, don't you? Yeah, that's what I was told. You don't look too good today. That's what I was told. Said, you're not preaching like that. Well, nobody told me not to do this. What do we say? Last sentence, and I'll quit with this. The better we know God, the more knowledge we have to navigate life. Hear me? The better we know God, the more knowledge we have to navigate life. Father, we thank Thee for this Sunday. We thank Thee for this worship and song and fellowship and prayer and offerings and the preaching of the Word. And Father, help us to receive spiritual wisdom, spiritual revelation, and spiritual desire to know God better. May we see lost people saved, lost people rededicating their life to you, or joining the church today as you lead them in obedience. Is our prayer in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Let's stand for our invitation, and you come as God leads you to come today, please.